Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Sai's glory, his divine story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai, and obviously its only goal. Good morning and Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Thursday Live. You are tuned to our Asia stream and we are coming to you from Prashanthi Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and you are tuned to Morning Glory till 11 a.m. this morning. Thank you for staying with us on this warm Thursday morning, April the 28th, 2016. Current weather conditions in Prashanthi Nilayam, well, all I can say is that we are participating wholeheartedly in the sizzling Indian summer and our daytime highs are crossing 40 degrees Celsius or 100 degrees Fahrenheit and overnight lows are somewhat better at 27 degrees Celsius or 81 Fahrenheit. Coming up on Morning Glory today, all your favorite bhajans that we could not play last week due to lack of time. I will play a few right away and the rest at the end of the show. So please, dear sisters and brothers, stay with us for the entire duration of today's Morning Glory as well as for the entire Thursday Live till 9:30 p.m. tonight. If Radio Sai Global Harmony is your station of choice, I urge you to stay tuned to God's very own station all day long today. And now, it is time for me to announce today's feature presentation. It's an interview with Mr. and Mrs. Seiler of Germany, hosted by my colleague Mr. Bishu Prushti. It is a conversation between a journalist from Radio Sai and a radio journalist from Germany, full of pleasant surprises. So please enjoy this episode of Tryst with Divinity today, which will be preceded and followed by a few of your favorite bhajans. As always, I will look forward to your feedback to this episode of Morning Glory. We welcome your thoughts, comments and suggestions at listener@radiosai.org. Please enjoy the show and Jai Sai Ram.
Sun lo. Dil ki सुन लो
I love you.
Dearest mine.
Dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity. And today, in front of me, in the studios of Radio Sai, is a couple from Germany who had their tryst with Prashant Nilayam just a couple of days ago, Mrs. Uta Saila and Mr. Martin Saila. How I happened to meet them is pretty interesting and accidental in a manner of sorts, because just a few days ago I was walking out of the office and I happened to see Miss Uta peep into the Radio Sai office, and I asked her if I can be of any help to them if they need anything, and that is when she revealed that she works for a radio station in Germany, and she's come to Prashantalam for the first time and she's very curious to know what goes on inside Radio Sai. And so it was my pleasure to bring both of them into the studio and show them our recording flow and our office and share with them about Prashantalam, about what goes on here in this little town in Andhra Pradesh. So it was really a very heartening experience meeting them, exchanging notes about Prashantinilam, about Swami, as well as about radio and about music. Because interestingly, she has been doing for 10 years producing programs in South Germany, in a radio station in South Germany, and it is on classical music. So she's someone, she knows so much about music. And so I was very tempted to ask her what she felt about the Prashanti music and the Prashanti culture, the Vedam, the bhajans and so on. So this is what prompted me to go ahead and call them for the interview, because I wanted to share this with all of you, dear listeners, because it was really a very enriching experience talking to them. So before I go ahead, first of all, a warm welcome to both of you, Uta and Martin, to the studios of Radio Sai.
Sai Ram, and thank you very much for the invitation.
So, Mrs. Uta, please go on and tell a little more about yourself, about what you do in Germany and how you happen to come to Prashantinilam and how has it been being here. So, first of all, a little about who you are.
Well, my name you mentioned already. I'm Uta Seiler, and I'm a music radio journalist and talk about classical music in the radio. And I like this very much because music means very much to me. Mm. And I think music reaches the heart of the people.
Yes.
So this is something what I like really. And I love also to communicate with people and hope that I have the chance by talking about music to give them something which helps them in their life, which makes them joy.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing in the radio station I do is to educate young people, helping them to communicate, to talk to other people on stage.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are afraid of this because they think, wow, a stage, that's so...
Stage fever.
Yeah, stage fever. They have stage fever. But when we start, they start to get curious. They want to learn it. And so they learn how to do it. And then there's a concert where they talk to the audience and explain the audience what is a classical Western symphonic orchestra, how does it work, and about the pieces this orchestra plays in this concert. And afterwards, they're really happy, and they always ask me, they want to do it once more, and is there a chance to repeat it?
Wow.
And what is really important to me is not only that they may talk on stage, this is one thing, but for me even more important is the fact to teach them how to talk without reading from a script, talking freely, talking
extempo.
From the heart, extempo, and learn to express themselves by talking.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you've been not only talking about music, you have been educating about music.
You've been living in music.
Yes.
And helping others, especially little ones, enjoy music, relish music, and, you know, get that happiness that you have been getting out of music.
I mean, that's it, because the third thing I do is concerts for preschool children, children aged from 3 to 6.
You do concerts for them?
Yes,
wow.
I do concerts for them also. And so we, together with my husband, we create programs. He writes a story and I narrate it on stage. And we have musicians, they play piano or the violin or the clarinet or all together.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly these are 5 to 7 musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And me, as a person who talks about this music, and we animate the children to be active also, not only listening, because for the small ones it's hard to listen 1 hour, but to be with us together. We dance, we sing, and we do some things with music, and we have a lot of joy together. I love that.
Wow. It is so lively experience, and especially when you're with little ones who are so innocent. Right, I think connecting with those hearts which are so unpolluted with everything else, you know, who are more in tune with that purity. I think it's always lovely when you spend time with little ones, because as I say, children, you know, they have the truest images of God, because they've just come fresh into the world, not yet into all the different things that the world ultimately starts putting into their hearts. You know, they're still very clean and fresh. So it's wonderful. So you've been spending your time in such a wonderful way with music and spreading love through music. Wow.
It's a big present. It's for me, it's a blessing that I have the chance to do such a wonderful job, because I know there are a lot of people who have to do jobs they don't really like. And I'm blessed that I have a job which is really
absolutely
wonderful. And you are right, the children, small children, they're so lovely. And after the concert, they come and they want to take me, to take them in my arms and say they love me and I love them. So it's really a beautiful experience.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, when your passion is your profession, then I think there is never a day when you are working, actually. You're all the time enjoying. Because, you know, that is what you love to do, and you get paid to do that.
Yeah. That's really true.
Wonderful.
That's really true.
Beautiful. And a little about you, Martin.
Yeah, Om Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here and to talk about this wonderful topics of Baba and music and
yes. So what do you
about
do in
the
Germany?
World. I'm a physicist.
Physicist.
But I also did educational work for some years. Mm-hmm. That's where I met my wonderful wife. education. So I designed programs for children mm-hmm. and youth also how to get into contact with nature. Mm-hmm. Because many children in the city, they don't know much about nature. Sometimes they even fear to go out into the nature and mm-hmm. They're not used to wild animals or to mm-hmm. even trees, climbing trees or mm-hmm. picking plants and mm-hmm. yeah, they don't know their healing herbs or mm-hmm. that you can eat something that just grows on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. this was a very important work and as I'm a physicist, I then thought about what can I do to help people also do something against the climate change. Mm-hmm. So now I'm a consultant and I'm doing consultant work for companies and also for communities to okay. save energy
okay.
and to use renewable energies, which okay. is a big issue in Germany. We have solar energy, a lot of solar energy.
Yeah. Wind.
That we use and yeah. wind energy and yes. thermal,
geothermal energy.
Geothermal energy. So a wow. lot of things are happening in a positive
yes.
way now there. And
wow. Beautiful. You're helping especially children connect to nature. I think that is such an important thing. You know, connecting to music, connecting to nature. I think this is what will help them to discover themselves. Each person has to ultimately discover themselves. And I think these are ways by which, you know, we can, at some point in life, everyone starts to ask the question, who am I? What am I here for? What is the purpose of my life? You know, at some point in time, these questions come in everyone's life. When you have been there and done that and you feel, okay, this is what I have to achieve and you have achieved, then finally those questions come up. What am I here really for? What is it that I have to really achieve in life? You know, and I think the more you are connected to these natural ways of our being, music, nature, and I think that whole process, that whole journey within becomes very easy. So it's really wonderful that you are there in these areas which help people to ultimately find greater solace within. Wonderful. So tell us, Uta, how has it been in Prashant Nilayam? This is the first time you are here in this hot time, hot and holy hamlet.
Yeah. Fortunately, it's not so hot as okay. we expected it. Okay. So I was very glad that it's not too hot because in Germany it's not so hot, so I'm not used to it. But that was the first present we got that we arrived and it was quite comfortable, the
yes,
temperature.
Yeah, now it's comfortable. It's August, so yes, it gets better.
And the holy place is wonderful. I like it very much because I feel the love, the peace and the harmony which is at this place, and it's really a model for the whole world. It would be fine if the whole world would run like that, mm-hmm. where people from all over the world live together in peace. And well, I think it's really special that it spreads out in the world, because there are some people from all over the world and they can take it into their home countries, and so they will show their friends and their friends will show yes. their friends, and so it will get out also. And you know, we both don't drink any alcohol and we live as vegetarians. Mm-hmm. And in Germany, you are like an exotic person if you live like that. It's upcoming. There are more and more people like that, surely, but.
Mm. But you have to be, you're in some ways an odd man out, right?
Yeah. And I love it that here, These things are not allowed, so it's really good because it's just so healthy, the atmosphere, and there Yes, I like this very much. This is the one thing. And the other thing is that you can feel Swami even if he passed away physically. We haven't been here when he was in his physical form, so we never met him as a manifestation in a human body. But for me, it's not really a problem because we can feel him here, and it seems to me like we could also talk to him. So sometimes when I sit down and I have a question, I just get an answer. I do it also at home, so it works, I think, at any place. But here he was and he is even, how to explain? Well, he's everywhere, but it's the place where he used to live. And in the Darshan Hall, there's a special energy you can feel while singing the bhajans or while just sitting there and being there. So,
wow. But how long have you known Swami?
I think it's 8 years ago.
8 years ago?
8 years. That was a friend of mine. He's a very close Baba devotee. He was very often here and got interviews and everything. And so he told me about Baba, and first I was very, very doubtful and anxious about, because, well, I was spiritual interested all the time and Buddhism and things like that, but I didn't know what to do. And I thought, oh no, it's not for me. It's so, strange for me. It's so strange. God in a human body, that's not possible. Or it was a kind of strange to me. But then I had a dream.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I didn't have any inner relationship to Baba at that moment, Baba came in my dream and just told me, I'm always there for you. And at the first moment in the morning, I thought, oh my God, I don't want that. Because I didn't know. I thought, wow, what to do? But then
you fell into something strange.
Yes.
Baba coming and telling you, I'm there for you. You don't know him. And what is all this?
Yes, because I didn't read anything about him. I didn't know anything about him. I thought, oh, it's strange.
But you
strange.
Had seen his picture, so you knew who is he.
Yeah, a picture, but only one picture or something in a book. It was in a book. But then I thought, okay, it must be a message. So I will open my heart to receive his blessing. And it's wonderful that he comes up to me in my dream and tell me he's always there.
Wow.
So
on his own, he comes.
And then I opened my heart. And since then, everything, or really a lot of things changed to my best. So,
A lot of things have happened after that.
Yes, the first thing that happened is that my husband came to my life. And that was also a big blessing, because we have really a very, very good relationship. We don't have any problems, and sometimes we can't believe, because we know a lot of couples, they have a lot of problems, a lot of marriage couples also. But we have it really easy together. And what is wonderful to me is that we can join the spiritual path and go together, because often only one person in a couple from the couple wants to go spiritual path, and then it's not so easy.
Yes.
But we can go together, be together, but also be connected to God. So that's really a big blessing. The first thing happened, and then there were so much other things which really were wonderful and are wonderful. So I'm sure Baba leads us. And Baba is the one who führt uns zusammen.
Oh, who made us meet.
Brought us together.
Yeah, thank you. Who brought us together. And we also have wonderful friends who are Baba devotees, and it's a kind of satsang for us. So, and my job. Before, I didn't have this kind of job, which made me so happy. And this also changed, that I had the chance to work for this radio station.
And talk about music.
Yes, and healthiness.
So all this has happened after Swami's, you opened your heart.
Yes.
And received his love and grace.
Yes.
Wow. And this has been going on for 8 years.
Yes.
You've known him since 8 years.
Yes.
And you've been talking to him? You've been feeling him?
Yes, we have at home, and in every room we have a picture or Ula war eine Statue, aber ist egal. A picture of Baba and also from Amma, you know Amma in Kerala, and yes, I often ask things or talk to Baba, and I get answers. So
you get the answers.
Yes. I hope I'm hearing the right things. I'm not sure. Sometimes I have doubts and say, who is it? Or is it really right this way? But, well, you never can be sure, but I listen in my heart, so I do what my heart tells me. And,
wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. And when did this desire originate to come to Puttaparthi? You had known Baba for 8 years, but you never came to Puttaparthi before.
I must say, I also asked, where should I go on holiday? That was 5 years ago. Mm. And there came the answer, I should go to Puttaparthi. But I was so anxious to come to India that I didn't come. Because I don't know why, but I really was very, very anxious about India. Mm. Maybe because I knew in my heart that traveling to India means not only making holiday, like being at the seaside or walking around in the mountains, but means inner transformation.
Yes.
And maybe my ego was very afraid about that and didn't want it. So. Mm. And that's why I didn't come 5 years ago. And yes, now he's passed away, but now I felt that it's the time I'm strong enough to come to India.
Okay.
And now I like it very much, and I see that it's a really big present to be here, and that I, as a Western woman, can learn a lot of things here from Baba, but also from Indian people.
Indian people, yes. Indian culture.
Yes, and especially from this place. Prashanthi Nilayam.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the call had come 5 years ago,
yes.
But somehow you were not still prepared for this journey.
For this journey,
physically as well as internally.
That's right. I must be honest. It is that way. Yeah.
Yeah. And now it has happened, and you are happy it has happened finally.
Yes, I am happy that it happened.
Yeah.
I must say that the first arrival in Puttaparthi was not so easy for me, because I love when it's calm, and I love nature, and we are very much out in nature, walking and hiking in the mountains.
Mm.
And for me, I can feel God also very strong in nature.
Mm.
And so we came to Puttaparthi. We first stayed outside, I must say, in a hotel. And it was loud, and so many people, and all the beggars, I didn't know what to do, giving them or not. Baba says, don't give them so much. And that was hard for me. And I thought, oh my God, now I'm here, what should I do? But now we moved into the ashram, and now I feel really good. And
it feels very, very peaceful inside the ashram.
Yes, very peaceful. And as I mentioned, love and harmony. And yesterday was, for me, amazing. I was really sad that we have to leave on Friday.
Mm.
And in the beginning of our journey, I always
was counting the days.
Mm. When I may go back to Germany in my home. But now I feel it's really a wonderful place, and I'm sure that we will come back. So it's not the only time we are here.
And how has it been now for you, Martin? Stepping in Prashanthi Nilayam for the first time. Mm. Is it your first trip to India too?
No, it is our second trip to India.
Okay.
We went to 2012.
Okay.
At Christmas, we were visiting the ashram of Amma.
Okay.
In Kerala, in Amritapuri.
Mm.
And this was the first time for us to come to India.
Okay.
And this was a very good experience also, because we the whole time we had to realize that all our fears, they were only in the mind, and we were guided through the journey, and everything was wonderful all the time. So we hadn't expected this, so it was wonderful to see that God is around and taking us by the hand. And
wow.
Yeah.
So have you also been feeling Baba's presence? Or how did Baba come into your life?
Yeah, I had no dream of Baba. Or I did not meet him in such a in a dream or in some certain experience. But he was always somewhere. I had friends and I read in a book and I saw, oh, this book is talking of a Baba, and I saw a picture of him. And then I was, I guess it was 10 years, I had, I was lacking energy and I took some therapy. Mm-hmm. And the therapist, in the room where he was practicing, there was a big photograph of Baba. Mm-hmm. And I looked and thought, oh, this is this man, I've seen him before. It's an Indian saint or somebody. And so he always was there somewhere. And I didn't really take great care of him. But it grew stronger every time I met him in the books or when talking with friends or on other occasions.
Mm.
So, yeah, it gradually diffused into my life, and his presence is always stronger to feel. And when I came here to Prashantinilayam, yes, the sentence that you can read everywhere, why fear when I am here, this very much touched me. Because sometimes there's also moments when I'm not very sure about myself and about the questions that you mentioned in the beginning. What is my life about? Am I on the right track? Should I do more or even more than I think I should do, and is it enough, and all these questions, and then they arise, and it's good to calm the mind and to be clear that it's not the way of doubt that God wants us to walk, but the path of trust and
confidence
and
wow. So that saying of why fear when I am here infused in you a lot of confidence, infused a feeling of assurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you felt you are taken care of.
Yes.
You never have to feel lost in your life at any point in time.
Mm.
Wow. And perhaps after you met her and you would have started talking more about Baba.
Yes, we talked a lot about Baba.
And we have books, and sometimes when we have a question, we pray to Baba, please send us a message, and then we open up the book and read what he is saying to us. And there are always really wonderful results for us.
Yeah, this is very helpful.
Yes.
Wow, wonderful. And you said that right from even before you came to know of Baba, you were in some ways on the spiritual path. You had made changes in your life in terms of being a vegetarian and, away from many other things that normally many people indulge in.
Mm-hmm.
So how did that happen? How did you always have this interest towards something that was spiritual? Was it a gradual process, or there was something that happened, or was it your upbringing in your family?
My family didn't. Was heißt fördern?
Didn't encourage?
Encourage the searching or the seeking for God.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. But as a child, I think it came from suffering.
Suffering?
Yes. Okay. I think it came from suffering because I was really unhappy as a child, and I always thought, what is life? I had this question, what is life? Who am I?
Mm-hmm.
Why living? Why am I here on earth? That were questions. They were there since I've been a child, about 6 or 7 years. So my parents didn't give me answers. They probably couldn't. So from the point of view of today, it's okay that it was like that, because it gave me the chance to seek on my own,
yes,
and to search on my own and to find on my own. And so, well, I started with meditation, and that was really important to me, because before I was very unruhig. Often I was nervous and just looking around and searching for something, but I didn't know what am I searching. But I hadn't the idea to come inside, to look inside. And I remember the first meditation, I had really fear, because I thought, if I sit down and calm down, I will get completely confused. But it wasn't that way. It was completely the opposite. I sat down and felt the strength in myself, and I felt there is something inside of me which is really calm and which is powerful and which is like God also in myself. So I decided to go on this path. It's better than to search outside, because I never found what I was looking for. So, and then first I began with Zen meditation, which is practiced in Japan. It's a very
strict.
It's a very strict way. You have to sit down in a certain way, and you have to do things in a certain way, and it's not allowed to do it in another way. But for me, it gave me a kind of Sicherheit, you know, security or something. I felt good with this. But then, yeah, then came this friend with Baba, and also we heard about Amma, and then I found that this Indian spirituality, and especially Baba, I felt that he leads us, and I read a lot of him, and I had a lot of resonance with this, what he was writing, what he was telling us. For example, just these two words, be happy. He writes he doesn't want us to sit like that if your mind is going on and going on, and if you're unhappy, there's no sense in it. If you sit down 10 minutes every day and you are strict, and afterwards you do what you want, that doesn't make any sense. So I understood it's more important to structure your life and to be happy undepending from that what you are doing.
Yes.
I'm sitting here, or I'm in the bhajan hall. And surely my mind often jumps from this to this, like the monkeys, Baba's writing that. But, well, I think it's learning and doing and developing and staying on the path.
Wow.
And you will get further and further, step by step.
Yeah. Yes. So just that directive from Baba to be happy. Not necessarily undertake rigorous spiritual disciplines, rigorous meditation or something, but just being happy is what really appealed to you. I think in some ways it was a practical middle path. And perhaps that is what, as you mentioned, really appealed to you. And that is one thing about Baba's teachings. For many people, they feel that his teachings are very simple. It is not complex at all. Very simple to follow. And it is universal. Anyone can follow that. And you don't have to be a scholar to understand what he's trying to tell you. Because he really came for ordinary people, you and me. And that is why, you know, be good, see good, do good, or things like, you know, wife here when I'm here, or hands that serve, or holier than lips that pray. You know, these are the things that really captivate us and keep us on the path. So it's wonderful. It's amazing how just one or two words of him, you know, there's only one God and he's omnipresent. There's only one religion, that religion of love. These are something which binds us as one family, as well as it really gives us enough strength to follow on the spiritual path. Beautiful. So, can I ask you, Uta, what else about India fascinated you? You, Martin, and Uta, both of you, yes.
You want to start?
No, you start.
I start, okay. I'm used to talking a lot.
So that's what we want. Especially on the radio program.
Okay. After the first time traveling to India, 2012. I came home and I understood that India is a land which helps to switch the side to outside to inside.
Helps you change your perspective from outside to inside.
Yes, it helps to change the perspective from outside to inside because the material wealth is much lower than in Germany. Mm-hmm. But people are, to me it seemed, as they are much more content with their life. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of, there are more smiling people and very heartful people. Mm-hmm. And that was something which really touched me deep inside, that also very poor people, they were so thankful for their lives and happy. And that was, wow, it's a very strong experience. So I came home and I saw our hometown with complete different eyes. Mm-hmm. I saw, wow, it's unbelievable in which kind of wealth we live. Mm-hmm. It's, yes, we have everything and we have a lot of more, more than everything. And it's not necessary, but it's also a present. And it's, for me, I was more thankful for all of this. I saw the blessing.
So what you took it for granted, now you take that as a blessing because you know there are people who are so poor and yet who are happy.
That's one thing. But the other thing is that the perspective to the inner makes happy because it makes you free.
Yes.
You shouldn't be stuck on that, what you have. It's important to be thankful, but it's more important to know that you are happy even if you lose these things.
Yes. Yeah. Your happiness should not be dependent on the things outside.
That's it. That's it. So it's both. I'm thankful that I have all these things, but I'm also thankful that I know that not these things are the thing which make me happy, but it's the inner experience which makes me happy. So these are two very important things India told me or learned me. And what I love also is the colors.
Colors?
The colors. It's unbelievable. The colors in India you won't find in Germany. Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And I think it's also a kind of expression of diversity of life.
Diversity, yes.
Yes. And for me, even if I know about the big problems with women in India, there are really big, big problems. But the way women clothe themselves, for me, it shows dignity.
Yes.
And I would be very happy if this would be the way women clothe themselves in Europe too, because in Europe, for me, it's a problem that women clothe in a way they show that they don't have any, was heißt Achtung?
Respect
it's without any respect to themselves and also to men. I don't like this way of showing their body, and it's sad for me to see. And even young girls, they walk around like, for me, I think it's dangerous to walk around like that. And so this is something I can see here, that there's a way of clothing and of moving in society for a woman, which is really something of dignity and peaceful and respect. Respect to oneself and respect to the other.
Yes, dignity and grace.
Grace, that's the word. Yeah, grace. Thank you.
Yeah, which is, Baba always talked about, the very important role that women play. He was always very insistent on giving the respect to womanhood. Mm-hmm. In fact, there is one every year before his birthday, there is a Ladies' Day celebration where, you know, women take charge of the entire ashram and they do everything. And of course, what you mentioned about what appears in the media about Indian, I would say that the media always plays up. There are a lot of good things that happen, but somehow you always want to share only that or report only that which is not so pleasant, which is sort of sensational. There are a lot, for every one thing that we hear which is not so good, there are at least 99 things which which are so good, but somehow those things never come onto the front page of newspapers.
That's true.
So it is for us to always know that whatever we take from the media, it is never the whole truth. The media always has their own way of reporting things, which may not be always the truth or the actual facts.
That's true.
Only when you come and experience, then you know what it is. Yeah. And it's really wonderful that all the things that you mentioned, it's really fascinating, because you talked about colors, you talked about respect for women, and that is what is India. That is what is has made this country what it is today. I mean, you will find so many stories, so many real stories in this land, which just glorifies the woman, glorifies motherhood. In fact, Baba decided to stay back in Puttaparthi only because Baba's mother told him that, promise me you will never leave Puttaparthi and you will always speak Telugu, the mother tongue. And that is what Baba did.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah. It was the mother who asked Baba to build a small hospital, and Baba built a huge super speciality hospital. It was the mother who asked Baba to build a small school for the villages, and Baba built up the university. The mother who asked Baba to build a well, and Baba provided water to 1,000 villages by a huge drinking water project. So it was always about having that gratitude and love for the mother. In fact, the first college that Baba set up was for the woman children, for the women in Anandpur. The first college, the first campus of the university was for girl students.
Wonderful to know.
He wanted girls to get to be educated, and you know, you have to look after the family as well as society.
Yes.
You have that role. So anyway, it's wonderful.
But if you mention education, that's something which is also very touching to me, to see how the children here are educated from their young years to know about God and to learn the principles of a real good life.
Yes.
Connected to God.
Yes.
And this is something I really take home with me when I educate people, where I don't have the chance to really talk about Baba in these courses I give, but I can give what I learn.
Yes.
What I learned from Baba, I can give it also when I'm talking to people or if I'm educating children. And that's something I'm really touched about, to see it here, how these children are educated.
Yeah. Character is absolutely important. I mean, the whole education system is all about building a good character. Yes.
One can feel that, really, and how their children, how they look and how they greet you in the morning. And this is beautiful. Yeah.
And what is your experience of India, Martin?
Oh, I also have many experiences about India. One of the things I really like is Indian food.
Oh, food.
Yes, I walk to the Western canteen and everything, but I really feel that Indian food, it is very good for my body. So I.
Oh, is it?
So you love it.
You eat in the South Indian canteen?
No, in the North Indian.
North Indian. Oh, you like? Is not spicy for you?
No, that's okay.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes, a lot in India.
Especially, I feel that it's very good for my body. So
wow,
yeah, it makes me happy.
In fact, there was a week or two ago, there was a group from North Europe, and there were a lot of people from Germany, and I happened to speak to many of them, and at least 2-3 of them I spoke to, they said that, you know, they also eat in the North Indian canteen. And I said, you eat there, you don't eat in the Western canteen? They said, anyway, we eat Western food in Germany, we don't have to eat that here. We eat Indian food and we like it. it's not because we cannot afford to eat in the Western canteen or anything of that nature. It is only because we like the Indian food and we love to enjoy the food that is served in the South Indian and North Indian canteen. So it's really interesting to know that you even though you're visiting Buddhapurti for the first time, you have this liking for Indian food.
Yes.
And because for me it is a central part of Indian culture.
Yeah.
And I'm also fascinated about the whole Indian heritage. And heritage and about the dance and how they celebrate.
Yes.
How they depict Krishna and how they tell the stories with music or with dance and theater. And Indian culture, it has, I find it very inspiring. It has always got a very colorful, joyful note or element. So in European culture, some things are very earnest and it's, well, the blossom is missing some in some parts. And so this is a very, very beautiful part of Indian culture that I enjoy. And also what I feel what is very important is that especially men in India, they are more gentle.
Mm-hmm.
They have, I think, they have more balance with the female aspects in themselves. So this is also a thing that I like, and I feel this is a way to bring more harmony and peace into the world, because then men can understand women better.
Mm-hmm.
And also the other way around, maybe.
Yes.
But this is an important aspect for
more
men.
Balanced.
Yeah. More balanced, because in Germany, men, not so much of my generation, but the generations, the older generations, they are very tough, very hard, very straightforward, and they have, they don't feel gentle energy. So
so then you become less adjusting. Then you know when you are very hard, then you cannot adjust easily with another person.
Yeah, that's true.
Compromise, most likely.
Yeah, so here,
so it is a flexibility also in how people move in general. I think it is, it is very nice to watch Indian people how they move, how they look, how they greet.
Wonderful. So, do you find this Indian form of greeting, where folding hands and wishing each other, is that very unusual and very different than the German way of greeting?
Well, for me it is interesting, because especially in South Germany, in Bavaria, there is also a common greeting to say "Grüß Gott," which means "God may greet you."
Oh.
And it is a little similar
yes,
to Om Sai Ram or Namaste in India. But what I like very much about the greeting is that you fold your hands, or that you touch your heart.
Yes.
So it is very clear that the greeting, it comes from the heart, or
heart.
It connects to the heart.
Wow. Hmm? Yeah. It's more from the heart. To the heart, not so much the body to the body, but from the heart to the heart.
Mm.
Wow.
For me, it's the same. It's not unusual. It's wonderful. I like this form of greeting from the same reason. It's from heart to heart, and it's like the namaste. I also like very much, because I think it's translated, it's about the God in me greets the God in you. And that's so wonderful, because it just shows God is not something without us.
Yes.
He is within us. From within us, yeah, and this is a beautiful way of saying hello. Yeah,
absolutely. Wow.
Anuta, you didn't talk about music.
Indian music.
I always talk about music, but not today. No, well, I can talk about music. We have been to the bhajans, and we also sing bhajans in Munich sometimes, or mantra.
Mm-hmm.
I like it very much, because it has a clear message.
Mm-hmm.
I like music. Also, in Western classical music, for example, Johann Sebastian Bach is very famous. I don't know if you know him, but in Western countries, he's very famous. He lived in the 17th century. And he wrote music always to praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. That was his message. And every piece he wrote on the paper, it is written for God, mm-hmm. to praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. And that's something...
For the highest grace of God, he always signed every piece of music he
Yes.
He wrote. For the highest grace of God.
Yes. Mm. And that's one of my favorite composers because I can feel this, that it's dedicated to God and that's about God. And I think music is a wonderful medium to transport what God is because it's... Music is something you can't explain.
Yes.
Well, I'm talking about music every day, but I can't explain it. What is music?
Yes.
You just have to listen.
Yes.
It's the same with God. What is God? You have to experience.
Yes.
So music and God, for me, goes very well together. And in Indian music, I can feel it that people think in this way. Music is not just for entertainment, just listening.
Yes.
What about the deeper sense of listening to music? It's something to transport the, God.
Yes.
And it makes you calm and it makes you go inside. And that's really, really good. I like it very much. And especially in the bhajans, I like this way of it starts slow, and then it's getting more and more
faster.
It's faster, and then people clap their hands, and then it calms down in the end, and it's getting slower again. And so there is also this vitality and energy. It's in the music.
Yes.
It's also there, but it's all together. It's in this, in this, the message holds the music together. It's not just for doing some notes or some sounds. It's always the message, and that's important to me. I like it. And with the mantras or with the, for example, the Lokasamasta Sukhino Bhavantu, I like it very much because this is a message I really can sing from my heart thousands of times. I love this. And I think the repetition is very important. In all cultures, traditional music cultures, they repeat certain times a musical pattern.
Yes.
And this is something which gives you power, which gives you strength, which even can bring you into a trance if you are searching for it.
Yes.
And that's something I like by chanting a mantra. It's always repeating, repeating, and you get deeper and deeper and deeper, and this is really, it's good.
Wow. And you know the meaning of Samasta Loka, right?
Yes. May all the beings, thank you, be happy.
Everywhere.
Every world.
Everywhere, be happy.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
Again, be happy.
Yes. Because ultimately, what is the purpose of our life if you're not happy? And where do you get happiness? Happiness is union with God.
Yeah.
And everything, I think connecting with nature, connecting with music, everything is ultimately for us to be one with God. And all of these are different mediums which help us. Wonderful. So what are you taking from Pitaparthi back to Germany?
A lot of... You want to start?
No. I need some time to think, you know.
Okay.
No, but maybe I can answer. But at least one thing I take back to Germany is what you were just talking about, life and spirituality. It is about happiness, and about bringing happiness to ourselves and to the world. And this really was a present I received also from Baba, I think, when we came here to Puttaparthi, because somehow I was expecting a hard lesson or something uncomfortable, and I was happy. And as a German, I think the Germans they tend to say, he's happy, something is wrong with him, because at least when you're at work, you don't have to be happy, but you have to be straightforward. And So for me, it was really a big present to see, okay, it's about happiness, and I'm here now, and I'm allowed to enjoy. So it has, yeah, it has not to be a hard time, but it can be a joyous time, and that's a big present. So,
wow,
this is one thing I take.
So you're taking with you the mantra of happiness.
This is really
to live in your life and to share in your life.
Some people, maybe also myself, sometimes I found it strange, but that we have to remind ourselves of happiness, of
though
being
naturally
happy.
We should be happy.
Naturally we should be happy, but how could you forget? But obviously sometimes we really forget, and it is very important to remember
that
we are happy beings, and happiness is a pursuit, and I bring that back to Germany to spread it out.
Beautiful. There cannot be a more heartening and better gift to yourself and to Germany.
Yeah, that's true.
And you, Uta, please tell us, what are you taking back?
I'm taking back my heart, which is more open now when I come home than it was when I came here. And that's what that's my path, open my heart more and more and more and more, and just loving, 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 and not judging. Not always think this is good, this is bad, this is good, this is bad, but just love everybody and everything.
Yes. Yes.
And so this is my thing I take home, so a white heart.
Wow.
And what I hope I will bring home also is, there was also one reason, because we wish for our children. We don't have children. I lost the children 2 years ago.
Okay.
And we pray to Baba that he will make us the gift of our children, and maybe it comes true. So we hope that we take home also a baby, maybe.
Wow.
But we don't know yet. But we take it
pray for that.
As it comes, because I know Baba knows what is the best for us. So he will know if he gives us or not. But we prayed for it because we both love children. And yeah, maybe we will see.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, he's definitely sure to fill our lives with happiness, because that is the only thing that he can do for us, and that is the only thing that he wants in our life. Because there are only two things that the world cannot give us, and only he can give us, and that is peace and happiness. These are the only two things that he has that no one else has. And when we go to him, and there can be no one who is a better well-wisher for us than him. There can be no one who knows us and who wants good things in our life more than him. Anyone, than, you know, anyone else in the world. So definitely, if that is what is going to bring happiness to our lives, he will grant it. Because he's just eager to see us happy. So wonderful. It's really such a pleasant surprise to know you, and I'm really grateful to Baba for making it possible for you to come to the studio, that we met, and that we exchanged this feeling of love in Prashant and LM. Thank you so much for coming to the studios, and I do pray and hope that your life is filled with more and more happiness, and not only your life, but anyone who comes in contact with you, everyone is filled with that happiness. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Sairam.
Sairam.
आई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राणनाथ राम
मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राणनाथ राम
मेरे साई मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राणनाथ राम
साईं
मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राणनाथ राम मेरे प्राणनाथ राम
मेरे बाबा मेरे प्राणनाथ राम
साई राम साई श्याम मेरे साई राम
Thank you. parama